Welcome to you, I'm ready for my close-up. I'm Virginie Selavi, editor of Electric Sheep, the magazine for transgressive cinema, which can be found at electricsheepmagazine.com. You've just heard the introduction to Isaac Hayes' classic blaxploitation theme from Shaft, which will be screening at the Ritzy Cinema in Brixton on the 31st of August as part of Scala Beyond. Scala Beyond is a six-week nationwide film season programmed by a variety of film clubs and independent film exhibitors that runs from the 18th of August until the 29th of September. It follows last year's Scala Forever, which was organised to pay homage to the legendary London cinema, but aims at expanding the scope of the original season. And to talk about Scala Beyond, I have with me today Michael Pierce and Phil Wood, respectively season producer and season director. So welcome to the show.
Hello.
So how did it all start? What gave you the idea for Scala Forever last year?
Well, I run Roxy Barnes Screen and do all the programming there, and basically it's very hard to find big audiences for alternative or classic films, and so I've discovered sort of after a few trial and errors that if you put films together in a sort of mini season, that enables you to sort of get some press, get a sponsor, maybe get a flyer, and it was easier to find audiences. We did in 2010, we did a big season called Roxy's Extraordinary Film Season, where we showed lots of weird and wonderful kind of classic strange films. And at the end of it, Andy Kimpton Nye, who'd helped me program it, he turned to me. He's a bit older than me, by the way. He turned to me and he said, Phil, this is great. This really reminds me of the Scala. We should do something on the Scala. So we went away and I kind of sat in the back of my brain and then I thought I'll investigate a bit more about the Scala. And so we started talking to people about it, and everyone we spoke to said, oh yeah, I love the Scala, brilliant, let's do something like that. And then I spoke to Michael, who was or still is running Midnight Movies, and he said, yeah, great, can I help? I said, yeah, do all the work.
Start a beautiful friendship.
Yep. So that ran last year for 7 weeks and was very successful, much more successful than we thought it would be, much bigger than we thought it would be. And so we hadn't really planned to repeat it, but it was kind of, well, we should do something else to keep this going. So that's kind of how the idea came for Scala Beyond.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Scala Forever had a very specific purpose. The programming tried to reflect the sort of films that you would have seen at the Scala cinema. But with this season, you're trying to widen things a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. There was basically in the first season, we kind of met up a couple of weeks after the finish and sat down and looked at the flyer and started talking about what we could do. And one, we said, well, was there anything that we thought didn't work? And someone said, well, was Fantastic Mr. Fox, would that really have been in there? And Michael, you went to the event.
Yeah. So the remit last year was pretty sort of defined in terms of paying homage to the Scala, but we did open it up. So we sort of wanted to look at all the sort of pop-up cinemas that were showing and wanted to get them involved. And one of them was the Floating Cinema, which was a cinema on a boat that was going around the canals of East London. And they submitted an event. They were very, very enthusiastic about being involved. And the film they chose was Fantastic Mr. Fox for the Wes Anderson animation. And so some people thought it stuck out quite a lot, but if you actually look at the original Scala programming, there was a real range. They did do some kids' events sometimes, and they did do animation. But then actually when you went to the event, you realised there was such a wide cross-section of people there, and people dressed up. And actually if you watch the film, you can actually see there's actually sort of quite anarchic humour in it. And so we thought, well, why are we sort of imposing sort of restrictions on what should or should be programmed?
Because they also showed it by the was it 3Mill Studio?
Where yeah, it had been, so it's a very fitting, well, fitting.
So they kind of thought about where to do it and everything.
And they had the animator come down with the original sort of maquettes, the actual models they used in the film. It was a really, really great event. And so it's almost like that was so inclusive, and that was probably carrying on the spirit of the Scala, even if it wasn't necessarily the direct program.
Yeah, so the idea was the spirit of Scala wasn't just the films that they showed. It was the building, it was the staff, it was the decor, it was the cold, it was the cat, you know, the jukebox. It's kind of all this stuff, all the guests, all the, you know, the amazing programs. It's all those kind of other things that go to make something really great. And so Fantastic Mr. Fox, you just look at, you know, if you pick the DVD up, you'd be like, well, it's Fantastic Mr. Fox. But if you go to an event like that, it was, you know, it had all this other stuff going on and live performances, and they'd really thought about it. So the idea for this one was really like, well, let's forget about kind of trying to say what films you should watch, because, you know, part of what we're about is like, we're not saying this is a good film, this is a bad film. Any film is good to the person that's watching it. And so the idea was, what we wanted to celebrate was all the people behind it, how the events get put on, all the sort of added value, guests, speakers, music, etc., etc., etc. So it was kind of, this is more, slightly more a celebration of the sort of people behind and the people that run the film club, put on the films and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in one way you're widening things up a bit. At the same time, you've got a manifesto this year. So you're trying to give it a structure or some kind of like guiding principle?
I think there was certain things that were coming about last year. Basically, we really wanted to say that we were moving on from just saying that the legacy of the Scala in some way. So we need to be really, really clear about that, because it was quite easy for the press, like quite rightly so, to say it seems like quite a nostalgic festival. But we really wanted to say actually what it was, and actually what we got Film London funding for was to really shine a spotlight on the variety of exhibitors out there. So all the film clubs, all the independent venues, film festivals, there's so much going on that sometimes it's too overwhelming. So I think we really wanted to sort of stamp that out and yeah, just sort of celebrate. So that's how the manifesto, sort of, that's how it started.
Yeah, the idea previously was we were like, this was what the Scala used to do when it was open. Now it's shut. These are all the places that are still doing the same sort of thing. They might not be full time in one venue, but you can find all these little places. But we kind of, one of the things we wanted to do was to kind of demonstrate all the film clubs and all the people's, you know, for people to talk about what they were doing and why they were doing it. Quite early on, we were talking about sort of in Europe, it's quite common for audiences to really know who the programmer is and to know who puts on the nights, whereas in England it's kind of a bit more anonymous. You don't really know who's behind it or what the effort and thought goes into it. So the idea is that we really wanted people to say, you know, here I am, this is what I do, this is why I do it. You know, obviously I'm not doing it for money most of the time, so they're doing it for, you know, they're passionate about a certain type of film or certain what sort of things they do. So we wanted people to do that. So that was partly, we thought, well, we'll start it off and say this is why we're passionate about it, and this is our manifesto for kind of what we want to do for the season. It's not a sort of prescriptive, there's no sort of things to it's not a negative manifesto. It's a very, we wanted to try and make it very positive, so it's a kind of an encouragement and a call to arms.
Mm-hmm. To inspire people, I think, as well. I think if you watch The Manifesto, Justin Harries, who runs Film Bar 70, who's our colleague on Scarlet Beyond, he created a video of it. So if you go on YouTube, you can check it out. And yeah, it's quite an overwhelming, sort of passionate soundtrack to it. But if you just listen to read the words, it really is trying to inspire people to just understand that there are lots of different types of cinema out there. And if they can't find one that actually fits what they like, rather than sort of complaining about it all the time, why don't they just start it up? And that's actually what everyone who's involved in Scarlet Beyond has done. Mm-hmm. So we're putting all the declarations, as we're calling them, all the event partners have to come up with something, but it doesn't have to be a statement or a manifesto. It could be just an image that inspired them, or a short film, or anything. We're going to put it all together on a blog, and then hopefully just sort of ease that sort of unfamiliarity that there might be a sort of disconnecting audiences from a film club they haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As part of your, you've got 5 points in your manifesto.
I think it was a lot longer. It was quite a drunken evening. We sort of how long? Five hours.
Finalizing that.
Five
in
hours.
Took
getting
a long
down
time.
Just to those five points, uh-huh. So five is quite good, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So you want to fill the land with cinemas?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that was really sort of building off the sort of pop-up cinema idea that the way we think about cinemas has radically changed. I think you just have to look at secret cinema and the massive success of that. That people have totally changed how they view where a cinema is. So the idea of multiplexes is now sort of really competing against outdoor cinemas as well.
I always use the example of in Time Out, when I first came to London, you had mainstream section. Central London section, and then the region section and the rep section. And then now, if you look at it, you've got the same three, but you've also got alternative section and outdoor section, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they've had so many every week now that they've created new sections for it, and it's just there's so much more, you know. And with digital projectors being so cheap now, you can do it anywhere. It doesn't, you know, you don't need to be a posh old cinema that costs money, and you know, you can do it wherever you like. So that's kind of one thing
and that connects to sort of the other things we're talking about is dealing with schools as well, and children, as they're saying, how do they understand how to show films? And so we partnered with a film club, so we've created a guide that's going to help kids, to inspire them to show films to each other in different ways. Mm-hmm. Film club's a really great charity that organizes film club screenings with schools. And then we're doing a thing called Home Cinema Day on Saturday the 1st of September. We're encouraging everyone to show films in their own home and invite friends and family around. It's a really, really simple idea, but we just really wanted people to start understanding what goes into programming films and then actually convincing people to come and watch them with you. Just because, like Phil says, you can get projectors really cheap, and obviously TVs are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But if no one's watching it with you, then it's kind of a lonely, solitary experience with your Blu-ray player. So the idea is really to focus all attention on one day. It's really simple. It doesn't cost anything. Just get the Blu-rays or DVDs out of your collection. We partnered with Movie Mail as well, who's going to give you suggestions, and Film 4, who are putting on their own double bill on the day if you haven't got your own DVDs to hand. It's the idea that you can create a cinema in your own place, and that really is where sort of the future Scarlet would be, within someone's own home.
Yeah, and this development of all these alternative screenings or film clubs and all that, this is something that's really been happening over the last few years. Why do you think that is?
I think about when cinema started, there were no cinemas, and so they were taking place in sort of halls and theatres and churches and bars, wherever. So that's how it actually started. So it's kind of returning to that, and also the circus idea. So traveling cinemas. That's a really long. Old-fashioned thing, actually.
That's a very romantic view. I personally would say it'd be all to do with money, frankly. But
it's quite expensive. We're doing another plug. I want to start a pop-up cinema day at the Portobello pop-up, which is a really amazing microplex cinema. It's actually underneath a motorway. and underneath the West Way. And so we're doing an event just talking exactly about that, really sort of saying, you know, how easy is it? Do these things make money? How much does it cost? So come along if you do want to join this debate.
Have the money explanation then.
Just the fact that, you know, previously, you go back 10 years, you'd have to show on 35 mil, you'd have to pay for shipping for that. They're quite hard to get hold of. You need to have a projectionist, you know, you need to have a certain, you know, equipment and expensive and big room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, when we set up Roxy Bar and Screen, it was just a question of, you know, we're looking at what we can afford to do it, and we managed to make it affordable in order to do it and show films and charge, you know, £3-4 entry. Just a different kind of business model to, you know, the bigger cinemas. So I think that, you know, all the big cinemas and all the big you know, even the big sort of art house chains now, they are under sort of financial sort of strain. They're trying to make sure that they make ends meet, and so often the first thing that sort of drops from that is the slightly more risky programming. So they're going to, you know, want to stay with a safe bet, which is fair enough, because you want them to survive, you don't want them to all go broke. So, you know, when there's less interesting stuff going on, there's it creates a bit of a vacuum, I think. So people kind of think, well, yeah, I really, you know, I wish I could see that. Well, me and my mates actually might do that. In fact, actually, quite a few. I think Film Bar 70 started like that, didn't they? I think Justin and Adam used to just show, you know, get their mates around and show films, and they basically just now do it at Roxy and invite loads more people. So it's kind of just it's just a sort of extension of that, really. So I think it's just it's supply and demand of what's out there.
Yeah.
And I think just because it's getting easier. And there's more information about it, and then stuff like this, you know, already between Scarlet Forever and Scarlet Beyond, we've seen a massive increase just in London of the number of places doing it. And I think people, one of the best things about Scarlet Forever was just the sort of community kind of spirit between everyone involved. Everyone kind of came together and sort of, I've never met you, and, you know, I've heard about your night, but I've not seen it. And, you know, and the sort of the communal sort of social aspect of it, and people kind of, you know, learning from other people or taking ideas or even sort of working together on stuff. And we've got a couple of new film groups at Roxy that have started, and whilst they're totally separate film groups, they're working together, so they promote each other nights and help each other out, and so hopefully that will, you know, will find a bigger audience because of that. So I think all that sort of
Opening night, so 18th of August we're launching at the Roxy. We're actually doing a bit of an experiment. We're doing a new thing called Film Jam, where we've asked 9 different film clubs all from across London to come together. They've got half an hour to show something. We don't know what it's going to be. So it's all going to be a complete surprise, but it's just to give a taster. So if you don't know anything about film clubs at all, just come down. It's going to be completely free. It's the start of the season, and then you can experience 9 different clubs. So if there's one particularly that you like, you can just go and meet them and talk to them and just see how you could help them out or find out more about their events. Shall I list off I might as well list off them because I think they'll be happy to. But we've got Suitcase Cinema, we've got Exploding Head, Days and Numbers, Cigarette Burns Cinema, BFI Flipside, we've got Passenger Films, Film Bar 70, London Short Film Festival, Videotape Swap Shop, and El Diabolique and the Duke Mitchell Film Club. So they're all going to be there on the opening night showing their stuff.
Excellent.
That's my plug for them.
Do you think there's going to be a bit of competition between
Hopefully. We're going to draw lots to see who goes first. But I've heard some rumours of what they're going to show, and there's going to be some really, really... And we're also going to, because Suitcase Cinema will show you stuff on 16mm, so we're going to have a 16mm projector.
Oh,
there,
wow.
So
that's exciting.
It's going to be fun night.
Yeah. You've also got something called the Film Crawl.
Film Crawl, yeah. The Film Crawl is really, really exciting as well. That's sort of came idea. This, from last year, we sort of thought we wanted to do some really different events, and one of them came around the idea of doing a sort of like a pub crawl, but for cinemas, in terms of taking people around on one day, just taking them around. And that's really developed into this idea of tying into the history of cinema going. So our first one's going to be organised by cinema enthusiast called Sam Cuthbert, who's looking at this particular area. We're in Lambeth now and Southwark, and taking around the venues that you might not know. There's the Cinema Museum down in Kennington down the road, which is a really, really amazing archive. and then also go to Roxy and Shortwave Cinema, but just going around, but then also talking about where the cinemas that used to be, how they completely disappeared, and then also just seeing what was filmed around that area and just really sort of uncover lots of really interesting facts about particular areas. And this is something that can grow, so if people got other ideas for walks around London or around the UK, just to get in touch, because this is something we could really, really see develop. But that first one's on the 22nd, 23rd of September. It ties in with Open House London.
Does it involve any alcohol?
It's not. Maybe. We'll see. It's going to be all day.
Voluntarily.
So we'll see how it goes. But no, it's more of a sort of layback, maybe. Uh-huh. We could do another version, I think. Well, there's going to be... I'm not going to mention too much in the programme because we sort of want to be quite partisan about it all, but... There is a few sort of drink-alongs during Scala.
And you've mentioned something that we should talk about some more as well, is the fact that this year it's a UK-wide event, because last year it was only restricted to London. So why have you expanded it in this way, and who's involved? What cities and what cinemas?
I don't think it was restricted to London. I think that was about as much as we could sort of hope
yes,
to do
that
at
was
the time.
Wrong choice of word. I should have said but it was all so this over time, across London.
Yeah,
and
this time everyone was
UK.
Like, oh, aren't you going to do it in Manchester, and why don't you do it here? And we were like, oh, blimey, okay. So we kind of basically decided on how we could do that. And have sort of developed a sort of mini network of people across the UK who've been helping us to spread the word and get more people. So we've got these actually Michael will tell you exactly who they are.
So basically after last year, there were a few people who said, oh, are you going to come to Manchester and Dundee? And we were like, that's not what we're about. We don't program the films ourselves. It's all up to do the film clubs. And it's really to inspire these kind of initiatives to happen themselves. And so we have hubs in Manchester, who's actually organised by two people who came to the screenings last year and have started up their own film club now, and they're getting other people involved. That's really, really great. We've got some in Newcastle, Brighton, Edinburgh, Bristol. So it's all around the country. It's all crazy.
And Birmingham, yeah.
And Birmingham, of course, Birmingham. But these are really, I think that's also, it's an education to people in London as well. There's sort of a prejudice that the idea that it's all happening in London. And it's really, really not the case. If you actually look at the festival circuit actually around the UK, like Flatpak, Encounters in Bristol, Band of Normal Devices in Manchester, like Edinburgh Film Festival, obviously. I'm going to forget one. I think the Press Play Festival, and there's so many really, really interesting stuff happening around the UK, and then not to mention all the sort of really cool indie cinemas like The Cube and Bristol and Star and Shadow and Newcastle. There's really, really, really interesting things that we want to bring attention to, so we've invited them to come along and join in. And it's also just actually very, very more small rural cinemas have got involved as well. And I think that ties back into what Phil just said about the network and that community. Hopefully people will really see this not just as like a short 6-week festival, but something that can actually grow and really people can really support each other. So already we're seeing that there are films that are being shown in London that are already travelling up to Newcastle, say. I can't say which ones.
So to explain actually a little more, so there'll be a central website, scalabeyond.co.uk, and that will have all the films on, all the films that are taking part in the season will be on there. And you can go on the website and then you can kind of filter the results by genre of films or by the location. So you can sort of find the films that are in your area or that in your sort of taste. And then the idea is that we then have sort of... around the sort of regions there'll be sort of individual kind of Facebook groups and individual sort of Twitter accounts for people to talk about stuff in their region, as well as the sort of whole thing. So it's kind of like one sort of central thing, and then we've got little sort of mini sort of sites, so you should be able to discover it kind of on big sort of national media like Risen's, and also on sort of local press and media, and then local sort of social media sites as well.
Okay. It's not too late as well. That's something to stress as well. You can submit events all the way through the season. So the only cut-off date really is like the 29th of September. So if you are planning something or you've already planned something and you think it'd be really, really good, it's a benefit from this wider exposure, do you just go to the website? There's a form to fill in. Fill that in and then we'll get back to you.
It's not a very big form. It's not a simple long. Form.
We just finished our... We're literally going to send off our printed programme off to print in the next hour, hopefully. So that's the sort of deadline that's gone. But from around the country, it's never too late to get involved.
Okay, sounds good. So last year, London. This year, the UK. Next year?
Oh, we've already got someone in Canada that's doing a Sky
Film
screening.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's already happening. But,
the world.
I'm not sure if we included him on the website. We can add another sort of the world category. So
next
he's not
year,
on the website.
I think. Well, we will see. Yeah. We'll sort of take over the UK, hopefully, first. We need to get to Ireland first. I think that's the thing. So cross the ocean there and then cross the sea in there and then
there's a great network called Kino Climates that we've sort of been involved with. It's just a European cinema thing, so
yeah, definitely check it out. I think they're the sort of really, really interesting cutting edge cinemas and very sort of small in terms of like their audience capacities, but their programming is really, really diverse. And I think we're wrapping up, so I've got to mention also the radio shows, the Radio Scala. We're going to be here on Resonance throughout September, so I think it's really important to actually hear lots of different voices. So it won't just be us, me and Phil. It'll be a variety of people involved.
Some interesting people.
Some more interesting people. Just talking about either events or just anything to do really with exhibition.
Okay, sounds good. But we can definitely look forward to another Scala beyond the beyond or something next year.
Definitely. Well, people got ideas. You know, there's so much stuff that actually came from people just who pitched us. Like the film jam literally came from all the people involved last year wanting to come up with it, and the same with the film crawls. So if people have ideas of how they want to take it, then definitely just get in touch. You know, it's not really, we don't want to sort of enforce a hierarchy that's us two in charge of everything. It really is made by whoever wants to be involved.
Okay, excellent. Right, so we have time for, thanks to my guests, Michael Pierce and Phil Wood. Scala Beyond runs from the 18th of August to the 29th of September. The full programme will be revealed on the 26th of July. Submissions are still open, so there is still time to organise your own event. For more details, please go to scalabeyond.co.uk. We are organising our own event in conjunction with Strange Attractor as part of Scala Beyond. We'll be showing Jess Franco's 1972 The Erotic Rites of Frankenstein at the Horse Hospital on the 19th of September. Stephen Thrower will be our special guest. The author of Beyond Terror, Eyeball and Nightmare USA will be talking about Jess Franco's life and films as a taster for his forthcoming new book on the filmmaker. More details of the event on the Electric Sheep website from the 26th of July at electricsheepmagazine.com. And we'll leave you now with The Killing Moon by Echo and the Bunnymen from the soundtrack of the original Donnie Darko, which will be screening on the 2nd of September in Fulham's Bishops Park.
Come too soon. still will.